Hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT open coaching call. This, I think, is the last one for the month of December for the year 2019 and for the decade of the 2010s. I don't even know how you say that. So I appreciate you guys being here, and I'm here to support you in whatever questions you have regarding a patient, regarding a specific process, regarding content, regarding your marketing, whatever you need help with, I'm here to support you. So Lynn already told me that she has a question. So we're going to go ahead and start with Lynn.
Thank you. And I know the answer is there somewhere. I just couldn't find it. But when we have the vitamin C calibration and we have the magnesium loading, there's a preference to do one first. And I know I've read this and in your materials and I couldn't find it. So
well, I think it's going to be personalized, right? So if you look at somebody and you say, well, they're already taking, 15,000 grams of, or 15,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and they're only taking no magnesium, then you would start and load up on the magnesium. So, and also go symptom wise, right? If they have a lot of immune issues versus a lot of, muscle cramping and those sorts of issues, I would go with the one where you think is going to support them the best, but I wouldn't do them at the same time because you can get very confused.
Right. And, and that's what I was doing. And that's exactly what I was doing. And I was crossing my fingers that I was doing it right. Because I thought I'd read somewhere there was one you should do before the other, and
Not in my world, anyway. I'm always very personalized about, I don't like a, you always should do it this way, right? So it just depends on who the person is and what their symptoms are and what they're already doing, diet-wise and supplement-wise, right? Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's easy. I'm just really honing in on, from our digestive module and all our digestive things and what you've been sharing with Dr. Marisol with the castor oil packs and some of her. And so I'm like really honing in to create this gut, process I bring people through. And I was talking with Steph about this the other day and she really liked it. So, and it's stuff that you teach.
Well, so share it because, everybody has, we learn from each other, right? So if you come up with a way to do it, somebody else may go, well, I like that, but I want to switch it around this way. Or my clientele is not in that mode, right? If you're seeing a lot of SIBO people, you want to be really honed in on how to address the SIBO. If you're seeing a lot of people with reflux, so it's going to vary from where you are and who you want to attract. And
just really... I start with how, if they're having bowel movements and what their bowel movements are like. So I have a little bowel movement tracker that I put in where they track what it looks like. And it's based a lot on what you've shared with us. And then, I have them do the transit time test. And then, I'm trying to remember. I also teach them about the ileocecal valve massage as well as the castor oil packs.
Yeah, because they got to be eliminating, right? That's the very top priority is do not be recycling toxins, right?
Right, exactly.
So many people are trying this leaky gut protocol and this parasite protocol, and they're having bowel movements every 3 or 4 days. It's like...
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly why the first thing I ask people is, what are your bowel movements like? Because there's so much information in there. And so I just go in with that. And then we do an elimination diet. And that works for people, whether they're working on their blood sugar or their thyroid. Or
everything,
their
right? That's why in Body Balance, I put that in module one because it was cross-pollinated between all of the modules, right?
Exactly.
So they have to do that right after it. Yeah.
And then I bring them through a leaky gut protocol. Mm-hmm. And then I, where are we now? Do we need to do a liver cleanse? Do we need to do a parasite cleanse? Do we, but that very beginning piece is just so important to, like you teach, everything else. And Barbara knows because she probably has heard me talk about this time and time again.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, so.
Absolutely. Your health depends on not just what you eat, it's what you absorb and what you eliminate.
And exactly.
And if you're not eliminating the trash, if you're not taking out the trash after a few days at home, right, what happens? It gets yucky and smelly and the bugs start to float around.
Yeah.
That's what happens in your body as well. You got to get rid of the trash.
Yeah. You know, you could have a thyroid issue, but it's really related to how well your digestion and your liver and everything else is working.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Know. That's why I keep sending people who want to get ahead of the game in thyroid is to go to the Thyroid Revive and Thrive, which we all have access to, regardless of when you started, and go to the fifth module because I summarize it all. Right. And you can just go through and, you know, and if you want to balance the thyroid, you got to get the gut balance. You got to get the blood sugar balance. You got to get the adrenals because they're all related. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's super important to keep that hierarchy in mind.
Yeah.
Right. Don't just jump in with the symptoms. We all want to jump in like hot flashes. Okay. I know what to do with that or thyroid issues. Okay. What are the natural protocols? But it's all related and we have to build the strong foundation. And sometimes because we see people who have seen a lot of other practitioners already that we're looking for what was missed. And oftentimes what was missed is the really basic stuff. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and I'm like, nobody ever told me that.
Yeah.
Like chewing your food for God's sake, you know?
Yeah.
Getting into gratitude before eating. All that stuff we did as children and it was religious and spiritual. It's also physiologic. You know, and that kind of stuff makes
a great guy.
You what?
You know, my hot dog guy.
Yeah.
He's now eating vegetables and he's really, and I'll tell you, and again, I mentioned this to Steph and she just laughed really hard. So he came to the call and he'd already sent me an email going, well, I don't know if this is going to work. I've always spent a lot of money and blah, blah, blah. So he came and he started in on that. And I said, listen, I'm here to help you. It's your choice. You can keep eating the hot dogs and doing all those things. And where did that lead you? I mean, I kind of gave him my mom attitude. And I think it just kind of shook him up a little bit so that he was like, oh, okay. But I'm like Laura teaches, I made it about him and it's not about me. It's like, you can keep working with me or not. That's up to you. But this is what I'm going to teach you. I am going to teach you about the foods. It's not just about a magic herb or tincture or whatever.
Right.
And so some emotional stuff came up and that's, you know, it works. And I want to commend Brandon on his wonderful talk today with ERC.
Oh, so. Yeah, I missed it because I had an overlapping call.
I know. I listened to the first part and the ending. So
good. Yay, Brandon. Full of insights.
But that's what we talked about, too, is that emotional piece that happens with our digestion.
And all of our gut, all of our health issues, all health issues have some root in sympathetic overdrive, really. Yeah. I mean, sympathetic overdrive creates all kinds of problems. Now, it's easy to say, it's not always, it's a simple concept, but it's not always easy to implement, right? Because old habits die hard and we've been in sympathetic dominance since we were little kids, you know, having to learn to use the potty when we weren't ready or, you know, having to learn to write and read when we weren't anywhere near ready. And that stress and that desire, we all have that desire to perform well and to do well and to please our, you know, family members, our teachers, whatever, who is in charge. And that started really young, really, really young, that need to perform. And that puts our body into sympathetic overdrive. And, you know, sympathetic dominance hurts every part of the body.
And you know, when you mentioned that about performing, I mean, what's one of the things that we have to perform on? And that's potty training. And it's like you don't even get a choice of when to choose to be trained. And so, yeah.
Well, in the world, my kids, it was like, okay, when are they ready? Like they're in diapers. They're in diapers until they're ready to get out. Yeah, we talked about it. I showed them. And then all of a sudden, one day at age almost three, my older son, Eric, came up to me. He says, I got to pee. He had a diaper on. And I'm like, oh, I want to go there. And I brought him in and he peed there and that was it. Potty training took a week, right? A few accidents, but he got it. But if I started when he was two and wasn't ready, you know, it would have been accidents all over the place. And the same thing with Kevin. He was just about three, same thing. And he came running, I got to pee. Like suddenly he had that desire to pee and he still had a diaper on. He could have peed in his diaper, but something clicked in his psyche and his emotions that said, I don't want to do this anymore on myself. I want to go there, right? Yeah. I want to be a big kid. But if I'd done that when they're one or two, right? It wasn't like I didn't introduce the concept. You know, right now you have a diaper and that's where, but with adults, this is where we go. And when you're ready to do this, you know, and have the little potty chair, neither of them ever used the potty chair. They just went right to the big toilet.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it was they had to be taught, like, they knew that daddy went to the bathroom by standing up. So they didn't want to sit and pee. They wanted to be like daddy. So when they were tall enough to stand up and pee, they stood up and peed. And I think that when we don't do that, yeah, there can be some psychological hangups about I'm not good enough. And here they're rewarding them with Tootsie Rolls or, you know, M&Ms or whatever.
Shooting Oreos in the toilet.
Like, come on, no, we're just
gonna, not Oreos, Cheerios.
So anyway, that's a good point that is the earliest place where control issues, right? They lose control. They feel like they lose control because mommy picks them up and sits them on this thing that has water underneath it. And it's kind of a scary thing to be sat on a toilet when you're not ready. Right? You're used to sitting on a chair. It doesn't have a hole and it doesn't have water underneath the hole.
Well, and then part of you goes in there. It's this part of you leaves you and you're losing control and you're losing a part of yourself and then you're flushing it down the toilet. And it's, you know, there's a lot to address there. And some of that may come up in when we work with people. And so that again is why a lot of this is foundational.
So there's another question to add to your history is how was your potty training experience? Right? If they have issues with letting it go, right? If they have issues with that part, like what was your potty training experience? How old were you when you're potty trained? Do you remember any, you know, fears or anger or whatever else, negative emotions around it? Because sometimes all people need to do is bring that to the surface. And then it goes. It's just like, oh, I can't believe I'm still holding on to that. Goodbye. Done. Right?
Literally.
Yeah. 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 So good questions and good comments. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I also want to comment that Lynn Rose, if you guys weren't on the Vital call today, holy cow, she did an amazing job of talking about the flu and how you handle the flu and what really causes it and, you know, dispelled a lot of myths that a lot of people have. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. Okay. Who else has questions? Carrie, you put a question in. You sent me a question. What was it about? It was about, where to find, maybe you can help with this. Where do we have a gluten assessment to find out if somebody's sensitive to gluten, or is it really just a matter of questions and lots? We have lots and lots of gluten resources, lots and lots of them. And it's in the Body Freedom section under diet.
Okay.
You'll see a lot of stuff there related to gluten. And it's just, you know, a matter of some of the questions in the regular digestive assessments, candida assessments, et cetera, can lead you to believe that they have a sensitivity to gluten. But I don't think we have a particular gluten assessment. I don't know.
Okay. I thought we did. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome.
All right.
Who else? I see a lot of you on Megan and Barbara and Brandon and Carrie, Jan. Hey, Lori. Hey, I see Lori and Barbara. Lynn Rose, Susan, and Valerie. So questions, comments. Where are you at in your studies? What are you struggling with or what are you really enjoying? What are you looking forward to? What do you have in terms of clients or yourself? Questions.
Oh, this is Carrie. I'm enjoying it all. I need more time in the day.
Don't we all? You know, I have this fantasy about all these courses that I've purchased, thinking I'm going to do them right away, and I start and then I don't finish, of having like a month off, and all I get to do is lounge around and watch videos and take notes and do all that kind of stuff. But
be a sponge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be a sponge. And one of these days we're going to develop those little USB things that either plug in the ear, hopefully ear. I have a picture of one plugging into the side of the head, and that looks painful to me, but like just stick it in my ear and blip. And you know, anybody that I want to share that with, you have that thing you carry around. Like, can I just download your brain? Thank you. Yeah, those things would really be useful if they ever could come about. Yeah. But it takes time, you know, and it takes experience, and it takes doing it over and over. You know, we did a call today with one of our Gold Plus things, and Lynn and I did it together. And, you know, going through, I went through an organic acid test, and, you know, I don't just glance over it and say, oh, it says you're high here and high there. And I like take it all in and really go through it. And it still takes me a good hour to go through an organic acid test and really glean what's going on. And I'll look at an organic acid test, and I'll look at it compared to their labs. And if they have any other kind of tests or genetics, I'll look at it in comparison to that. And I realized today, I really enjoy being able to take the time to, you know, pull and shove and then put together a little list of what I'm observing and what to do. And I think you get to that point when you have a lot of experience and expertise. And when you understand this, when you understand how this works and the biochemistry underneath it, then it gets easier and easier, right? And think about some of the things that you are expert in, right? Like Barbara used to teach languages, right? And you know, for me, I'm like, whoa, that's like supreme. I can't do that. But to you, it's like, it's just second nature, right? And the more you know something and the more you do it, the more you get it in your cells. And that's why we have so many calls. Some people say, well, why do you have so many calls? Because I think it's repetition, and it's to keep you on track and to keep you moving through. I mean, ideally, if I had the time and the space to do it, I'd redo all the modules live and just take you through them live. But it would be cost prohibitive for me to do that because there's so much there. But I love doing them live. Who was on the call we did on, it was a retreat, and we talked about practice and clinical practice. I loved doing that. I loved doing it that way and having the interaction while we did it. But, you know, so what we do instead is we have all the videos all recorded. You guys have no idea how long it takes to record a video, make the slides, record a video, then have it edited. And then, you know, it's just a lot, you know, to redo it would be painful. But I really enjoy it. Like, we still haven't gotten that thing's posted, the thing we did, but I really want that, you know, and go through and divide it up and put it into the module so that it shows up there. And so I think that the more you do it and the more you present and the more you are out there, that's why we have these calls so often, right? Is to make up for that. It's self-paced. You can go through it at your own pace, and then you get to come here and talk about wherever you're at. Like Carrie said, everybody's different level, right? Some people have all day, right, to do it, or their kids are at school and they can do it during the 6 hours their kids are at school. So more time than someone who has a full-time job. So yeah. So we have 20 on now. Who else is on? I don't see 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, 20 in the chat. Sorry. I see 10. Okay. 20 in the chat. Let's see. Lynn put a link in for some of the spots with gluten, Carrie. So if you want to check that, and Barbara, Carrie, I think, said the same thing, beginning the modules in January. And several people who joined said, yeah, I'm going to start the modules in January. I mean, September is kind of early for us to have said, yeah, we'll just, you can all start in January, because it's like, what am I going to do for the next 3 months? But whereas when we've done them in November, like, you know, Thanksgiving's in a couple of weeks and then Christmas, and people are like, yeah, I don't want to start till January. So we give you the option. You can start whenever you want to start the modules and you can continue them. We will, you know, kind of encourage you to move through them. And that's why we have the monthly implementation calls. But right now we're at monthly implementation calls. We're on year two. So if I can get somebody, one of our certified coaches, to start doing monthly implementation calls for the first year, or we can send you to those monthly implementation calls. But again, it's video, not interactive. So on the one hand, I don't want to crowd your schedule with more calls. But on the other hand, I found that when we started to do the implementation calls, like me just reviewing what's in this module and getting you excited about it, that people would get out there and do them. So always looking for better ways to do this. It's certainly all better than going to a school where you have to go there 3 times a week and travel and there's no recordings and you have to quickly scramble down notes and hope you remember most of the stuff. So yeah, we're working on it. Valerie. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, I saw somewhere it said Shine was going to be October like 26th through 28th or something like that.
23rd through 25th, I think.
So we do have a definite time?
Yes, we have a definite date. Yes, it's already, we just booked it with the hotel and just put the deposits down. So let's see if I can find it.
And it's going to be at the usual place.
The same place. We were
great
for a long time with them to actually be able to get a date. And fortunately, that date was the one I really wanted because I didn't want Halloween and I didn't want to go into November because there were a couple of other things happening and I certainly didn't want it in September again. So that's the dates I pinpoint. Yep, it's the 23rd through the 25th. And we'll be doing a mastermind day the day after again on the 25th. So for any
questions,
count on it being the 23rd to the, wait, the 26th. Yeah. So count on it being the 23rd through the 26th.
Great. Thank you.
To do that. And for those of you who are new, those days after Shine are magical. You want to say something about that, Valerie? What that's like?
Oh, that's one of my favorite times. It really is. Because we get to know each other better, but we also get to deal with things. It's a smaller group. And we can really dive deep into whatever we need to work on there.
Yeah. And the last 2 years, Laura Fine has joined us for that. And then she and I would coach on whatever, like somebody would ask, you know, say what they wanted their coaching to be on. And I'd go, okay, Laura, that's for you. And somebody else would say it. And she'd go, okay, it's for you. So it was a great, it was just a great interactive day together. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I really love those. It's like we've been doing these for like 4 or 5. I think we didn't do it the first year because we didn't have anybody in yet. And then the second year, I don't think we did it. But I think after that, we started to do it because I think that was, we've done it at least, we did it twice at the hotel. We used to do them at my house and we've done them at least twice at my house, maybe 3 times at my house. So, and that was a little bit challenging. I loved doing it because I could go home and then get up, but then I had to get up and get the house organized and arrange for food and all that. So starting last year, 2018, we started just staying at the hotel. It was harder for people to find a ride all the way up to where I live, which is about 45 minutes from the hotel, rather than just, let's just stay at the hotel and then head to the airport. So made it easier for everybody.
So Rita Marie, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
If I can only travel once, is it better to go to the retreat in May and then do Shine online, or would it be better go to Shine?
I think it would be better to come to the retreat in May.
Okay.
Because that's where we get 3 whole days together as a smaller group, as opposed to Shine and just getting the one. And yeah, for the info. And the topic, I haven't announced this yet, but this is what we're toying with and I want to get some feedback on, is autoimmune. Just, you know, managing autoimmune conditions because we're seeing it all so much and there's so much to cover there. Anybody have an idea on that? You know, because really in the
model. At the retreat?
At Shine.
At Shine.
Shine. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody have any thoughts on that, on autoimmune?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
But ideally, if there's any way you can do it twice, that's what I would look at, you know, so at least to do. Sometimes people have said, I can only do it once. What should I do? I've told them to do the retreat and they come to the retreat and then they're like, I just got to figure out a way to get to Shine. I just got to figure out a way to get there. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's see. Who's coming to the Exceptional Practitioners? Barbara, you started it?
Yes.
Enjoying it? Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great program. And I'm excited that you guys get to do it at the beginning of your NEPT process, because it really helps you with now, because sometimes people struggle with, how do I communicate this to people? And how do I really get through to people with this information? And, it helps you overcome some of those really deep barriers that I'm excited that you get to do. And then the next part you'll get is Kimberly's trauma thing. That's an easy one. Like, it's two-hour things, but so amazing. And then in, I can't remember the dates when we picked for that. I have to look back, but the Dancing with Defenses, which was like a 8-week, 12-week, something like that, where it's just amazing in learning. How do you identify in yourself and in others the defense pattern that has come up really early on? Because a lot of times when we get annoyed with our family members or our clients and they're not doing what we want them to do, or they're feeling, defensive, it's rooted in an old defense pattern that they developed when they were little babies or little children, somewhere between newborn and age 6 or so, where some of that gets really rooted, and they did it from protection. And everybody develops a different kind of protection based on what the environment was like for them, right? I developed the protection of that aggressive, I got to be right, and I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to, somebody else develops the, that cowering kind of, I can't speak out, and I've got to be quiet, and I got to obey the rules. And so Laura does an amazing job. Laura and Kimberly do it together, mostly Laura, I think, but teaching that and then having you do exercises that embrace that, that help you to really be much more powerful at identifying it and not getting like taken back when people start treating you a certain way, that it's their defense patterns. And she teaches, how do you deal with each of those defense patterns? Like, how do you communicate with them in a way that's going to reach them rather than push them away? So really good stuff. I'm so excited that we have that as part of the program. And any of you who are already in the program before this year can get access to those at a very reduced rate. So reach out and we'll let you know. I think we sent out an email or two about that, but it's really good stuff. All right. Questions, comments. Let's see. Lori, let's see, something about you should be able to open your line and speak. Let me see. You can't open your line? Oh, you're unmuted. You had that problem before.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. That happened once before, didn't it?
My question was, can I ask a question regarding what kind of tests to look for health issues?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are the best kind of test questions. Go for it.
Okay, so... looking at, I've heard of two instances of different people that are having issues with either uterine cancer or one has had an IUD for 10 years, had no issues, had it out for a couple of years, and now put it back in again because they weren't happy with their periods, and started bleeding heavily, like almost all month long now. There's no breaks in between. And they previously had a spot of cancer at the end of the uterus by the cervix that was removed. They had a subserial leiomyoma in the uterus, and it's showing signs of coming back again. So I'm wondering, what things should they be looking at in order for test-wise to find out why it keeps coming up?
Well, first of all, before you even think about tests, it's doing a good history, because cancer is a disease of the immune system, and it's metabolic, right? So we have to look at, how is this person eating? Are they sleeping? What's their stress level like? How are they dealing with life, right? What are their toxic exposures? Cancer comes from a lot of toxic exposures in the food and the water and the environment, and also the mental, the emotions. So it's really looking at that from an immune system standpoint, right? I would look first at blood sugar for sure, because, you know, blood sugar is going to, it's out of balance. It's going to cause those high spikes. It's going to cause inflammation, increased C-reactive protein. You can start with her basic lab, but put those numbers into the master tracker and also into the blood chem software and see what patterns. You'll start to see them more yourself, but when you put them in those things, those patterns will jump out at you more and see what's out of balance. I mean, it could be nutrient imbalances. It could be gluten intolerance that's causing leaky gut, that's causing toxins to get into the bloodstream, that's causing this body to have to respond. You know, the weak link is what really gets it when somebody's exposed to stressors in their life. And, you know, some people, the weak link, and a lot of times that's genetically or by early on stuff. Some people, the weak link is the reproductive system. Sometimes it's the brain and sometimes it's the joints, right? So it's, but really looking at it from a really deep level of what are her habits that are causing it? What nutrient imbalances she might have? You can start with the general vitamin D low. That's a huge one, right? That could create that. And looking at her general labs, there's a lot of information that you can find on interpreting the labs, and that's in the four, what module is it? Module 4 or 5? I don't know what module it's in, but there's a lab interpretation, the lab introduction module to help you with that. But you have access to the master tracker, and I, beside each one, I give you some ideas of what might be out of balance there. We look at the digestion and the immune system and the blood sugar primarily, and of course, habits that would promote those things being out of balance. You know, once you've looked at some of that stuff, yeah, I mean, you can look at advanced nutrient panels like NutriEval. You know, most people don't want to spend $500 or $600 to do that. And I don't like to have people spend that kind of money if it's real obvious that they're going to be out of balance because of their poor diet and their poor lifestyle and all that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can get smoking cigarettes and drinking Coke and, you know, all this stuff. You're going to expect nutrient imbalances, right? So let's get them to clean that up and then spend a lot of money on those tests.
You're going
to have to spend it again later.
Well, the only issue is I have been talking about the testing. Vitamin D levels are good. There's no thyroid results that are showing too high. Like, every test seems to be coming back normal.
Did they do a full panel? Did they do the autoimmune? Did they do conversion? And when you say normal, is it normal by?
Normal by doctor methods, yeah.
Standards, that's BS. Total BS. Put them into your master tracker. You'll see where there's things out of balance.
Because the doctor is talking about now just going right to doing like a hysterectomy to get rid of the cancer issue. I'm like,
that's not going to get rid of the cancer issue. That's going to get rid of that particular cancer.
Right.
Cancers might be brewing in her because of the imbalances. You want to get to the root cause and really help this person not to have it come back. And inevitably, maybe there isn't a need for a hysterectomy in some cases where it's, you know, growing out of control and we need to save the person by getting rid of that. But you've got to do the underlying. You know, you've got to kill the cancer, yes, get rid of it. But you've got to make the body so that it's not making cancer anymore and support the immune system and all those things we talked about. A lot of people don't want to do that. You know, they'd rather get their organs cut out. They don't get that. It's not really solving the problem because they've been brainwashed by the Western medical system into thinking that that is the cure-all. Yeah, what are the cure rates for that cancer? None of those have cure rates, right? What's the 5-year survival rate is what they say. Do you want a 5-year survival or do you want to create a body that's not going to create this anymore, right? And yeah, sometimes medical intervention is needed. Sometimes surgery is needed. But you've got to help her to see that it's a metabolic disorder, it's an immune system disorder, it's an exposure disorder, right? It's her habits, not to put blame, right? But the habits and the imbalances that cause certain imbalances.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, she has a very stressful job. She was not eating or sleeping well, but now she's working on that. So, like, the markers are there, but her main complaints sound kind of thyroid issue or maybe just immune system, which is, like, tired, foggy, memory issues, gaining weight, obviously the bleeding.
Check all the advanced blood sugar markers, not just fasting glucose. That's meanings.
And yeah.
You want to look at her insulin and look at her. Insulin causes problems and inflammation all through the body. What's her insulin levels like? How's her hemoglobin A1C doing? What's her HDL cholesterol to triglyceride to HDL ratio like? You know, what's her alkaline phosphatase like? Is it low, indicating she may have a low zinc? Zinc's important for the immune system, right? So many things to look at. And even, like I said, just that standard chem, if you just look at it from the doctor's office and look at the H's and the L's, not going to get very far. But if you look at it in respect to optimal and run it through the blood chemistry software, major stuff changes.
Now, do you think that the hormones in the IUD is like throwing her body too much out of whack?
I forgot about that. Yes, absolutely. Because the IUDs, it used to be an IUD was just an IUD. Now they're putting hormones in the IUDs, right? And I don't know exactly what they're putting in there, but
not she still wants progesterone. When she has
progestin, big difference, right? Most of those are not going to put bioidentical progesterone. It's going to be progestins because that's the pharmaceutical version of progesterone. If it's estrogen, you know, they're going to be putting in most likely estrone or estradiol, and they're the most proliferative versus estriol. So yeah, that definitely could be, and I would definitely have her get rid of that. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I don't recommend those or the pellets because it's not a real solution to the problem. If somebody needs temporarily to be put on bioidentical hormones, use bioidentical hormones and start with drop doses, little bits, and build it up to what they need so that you don't get into dangerous, and do the Dutch test, the metabolite test. What you're going to probably see if we were to look at somebody like that, she may have high levels in the 4-hydroxyestrone. Which is the more carcinogenic one. So it makes people more prone to breast cancer and other uterine cancer and cancers that are related to the hormones. And you look at the genetics, you probably see some of those genetics that she's not as good as detoxifying. But you got to look at the toxins in her life.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Great. Hi, Susan. Who else? I want to see you two on Saturday at our potluck. I haven't seen you in months. Those of you who live in Austin or near Austin, we have these monthly, or in Houston even, we have these great monthly gatherings where we make great food and have great conversation. So who else has questions, comments?
I guess I have a question.
Okay.
Regarding something on reflux, I have a client, she's 70, and she's been to an ENT, and she's got this constant clearing of her throat, and he said it was silent reflux, and he wrote her a prescription for something. And so I talked with her about it. She hasn't filled it, unfortunately. But I'm not finding a whole lot of information on it. Exactly what is it? Do you know anything about it?
They're not feeling it. Yes, absolutely. Sometimes people just feel it in the throat.
There's no burning. It's not like acid reflux.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Sometimes it happens, and the acid is just irritating. And it may be silent until it's not silent anymore, until the destruction of the tissue gets to a point where she feels it. But some people do. It's so similar things that you would do for reflux, which would be, you know, the demulcents, right? And even like a lozenge, like DGL lozenges are really good when it's in the throat because they're sucking it and it's staying there. Gargling with like a DGL slippery elm solution, right? That can help a lot, but it's not just here. It's really, there's probably some irritation all through the esophagus. Maybe not, but there probably is some irritation through the esophagus and in the stomach. So you treat it the same way. I would treat it the same way as reflux, right? And the doctor's going to treat it the same way as reflux. They're going to give you an antacid, right? So you
right.
treat it that way, but you've got to heal it. You've got to help them heal it. You have to look at the low stomach acid. What might be causing the low stomach acid? Do they have a hiatal hernia that's coming up through? Mm-hmm. Does that need to be manually manipulated to bring it back down, right? Yeah, not enough HCl makes that lower esophageal sphincter loose, and that's the only way the acid can reflux up and get, you know, make it to the throat. So I would review everything we have in the digestive module on reflux. There's even a protocol that reviews it, you know, summarizes it all on one sheet.
Yeah, that's kind of how I expected to do it. I was kind of looking at it as acid reflux. What I didn't know is it the beginning part, you know, the initiation that leads to acid reflux, or is it its own separate thing? Or,
yeah, well, because it's the same cause. It's the acid coming up from the stomach and irritating the throat. Is it the beginning? Like some, you know, it depends on the person sometimes, and it depends on what other factors, but it could be an early sign that it's just not irritating the esophagus yet. It's just irritating here. It could be that it's there a long time and there is some irritation there, but they're not feeling it necessarily. Or that they have some pretty good mucosa hanging out in their esophagus, so it's protecting it longer than it would. So I don't know that we can actually say whether it's early or late. But I think that, you know, just treating it the same, but making sure that when you're giving them some of those demulcents that they can keep it in that area. So lozenges, like a DGL lozenge, or gargling with it and holding. Because once it passes the epiglottis, can't hold it anymore, right? So it's probably right below the epiglottis. So that's where the lozenges, where it's just a slow release can, you know, can help a lot.
And then as far as the hiatal hernia manipulation, I'll just Google that on YouTube.
Google that. There's a lot of YouTube videos. There are chiropractors that will, you know, that do that. And you can do it yourself. I've had patients do it to themselves. And, you know, it takes 3 or 4 days in a row of doing it multiple times to keep it down. But they notice a relief right away. And then it goes away. Yeah.
Okay.
This other thing that's good for the throat irritation, it's in a lot of throat formulas. What am I thinking? Orange, is it orange oil or orange peel? Something with bitter orange, right? Bitter orange can be good, you know, says a tincture or something that they can just hold into the throat, and maybe even a lozenge that has some bitter orange in it. That'd be good for soothing the throat. Slippery elm. I like the spray that has the slippery elm in it. And so it's, you know, it gets into the throat pretty quickly.
Thanks.
Thanks. Good question. So Brandon says Lynn's vital topic was excellent. It was. I agree. It was great, Lynn. You did such a great job. And you were just so, you know, you were so direct, but so light about it, right? You know, you weren't like, you weren't blaming anybody. You were just stating the facts. You weren't doing that, right? But you wanted to, but you didn't. You refrained. But you just were stating the facts in such a nonchalant way. Like people are going, oh, holy cow, of course, right? And your credentials as being a former nurse that dispensed immunizations, to have that thing about the whole flu shot thing, right? I really like you clarifying that stuff on the flu shot, because it really is people pushing. Somebody said to me, you know, hey, I got the flu shot, or it was a family member, and they said, well, haven't you gotten the flu shot, or has he gotten the flu shot? My son, when he was having his little bout, and hasn't he had the flu shot? Like, hell no, I wouldn't give my kid a flu shot. I mean, you want me to poison my kid? No, let his body handle it, right? And even if he got the flu shot, doesn't mean he's not going to get the flu. Look at the news. Look at all the reports. But they think you're, you know, running around with two heads if you don't get the flu shot, right? And you just gave good information, good solid information that people could use, you know, about the shedding and, you know, all that stuff was really good information. Like I think it was Diana who said, oh, if I see a sign that says they give flu shots here, I'm leaving, because those things shed and I don't want to get one. So, yeah, it was good. Thank you.
Along that same line, that really was a very good talk. But I'd like to ask Lynn Rose to do a little basic homeopathy class, so that I'm a little uncomfortable with how to do it. You know, I have some of the influenzinum and all, and I'm just not really sure how to do it. And I know it's basic and it sounds simple.
Isn't there a Still My Talk over there in the ARC?
Yeah, in the ACR, there's a talk that she did on homeopathy. So go in there and look.
I'm glad to answer anything.
Yeah. I like the idea of just having that oxalo, I can never say it, oxalo, and the influenzinum, and having it around. And the fact that, you know, it's not going to wear out. It's not like your liposomal vitamin C that's going to, you know, has this expiration date, doesn't wear out. And you could just stockpile it, especially right now, since the problem, you know, that they're trying to cut back. And that kit, when you get a kit and you do it the way Lynn said, that's a kit that you'll have forever. I've had my kit for like 15 years, and they just have the little pellets, and you just take a few of them and you let it dissolve in the water, shake them up, and you've got these homeopathic remedies. That takes a little bit more doing and having a materia medica, and I've dabbled in it. I remember when my son was in eighth grade, and he was having fear of dying. Like every day, he'd get hit in the head. He read about something about hematomas and silent killers, and he was afraid, oh, somebody poked me in the temple with their elbow. Am I going to die? And I would have to lay with him and sleep with him. And then I started talking to him more, and he said he had, you know, stomach cramps, and he had a couple of other symptoms. I was asking him, and I'm looking up in this materia medica. I'm looking up, you know, I started with the fear of dying, and then I'm looking, I'm like, how about this? Does any of this other stuff relate to you? And he read it, and he goes, I have all of that. So I got that remedy. I don't even remember what the remedy was. And I gave it to him a couple of times. And within 2 weeks, he no longer had this fear of dying. Right? It works fast when you can get the right remedy. Those formulations, the oxaloacinum, however you say it, and the influenzinum, they have combinations of stuff. And it's just a combination of a bunch of stuff that may work. It may not work for somebody. It may work beautifully for somebody else, and that's a good place to start. And you gave that list of others that, you know, you can try. And you said just put them together, right? If we're just going to try to do this, what do they call it when you do the homeopathy where somebody goes through a two-hour talk and they try to get that one remedy for you?
The classical approach.
Classical, right?
That worked 200 years ago, but we don't live in the same world.
Yeah, and it's challenging, and you have to be really good to be able to do that. So the combination,
they're real purist, and they think if you combine them that you're, you know, evil.
That you, yeah, and that's not true. So if you combine them, one of them may have no effect, and one may have a really good effect. And if you were just going to try to give them the one thing, it's not going to work real well. So using the combination formulas is really helpful. But she does have that, and then we have another thing that we had done with, I think her name was Celia. And she did it on immune support with homeopathy. Immunoprophylaxis. So she had a really good talk.
Prophylaxis is what we use, like our vaccination. That's what we
do. Right. It's a homeopathic version of vaccination. Right. Right. And she talked about traveling and, you know, things you can do for when you're traveling and different formulations and stuff. It was a very good talk. Very good talk. But yeah, I mean, I've said a few times to Lynn, I'd like to hire you to do a whole course here for us on homeopathy. And maybe one day she'll say yes. Because it was, you teach well, very well. You're very clear and understandable. And, you know, some of us may want to learn more. But the basics are definitely in her presentation. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Thanks for that question, Valerie. Who else? Agreed. I don't know what that's all about. So some conversation that we had earlier, a bunch of people agreed and said, great, I agree. And Lori, everybody seems to have autoimmune. It's an epidemic. It really is. And a lot of people have silent autoimmune and they don't realize, and it's not diagnosed. And because doctors aren't doing the tests. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have come and joined our programs and found out that they had autoimmune thyroid disease after having been on thyroid medication for 15 years and not being able to get their anemia under control and not being able to get other things under control. And they finally like wept on calls going, I just got my results back. I have Hashimoto's. No wonder I've been suffering for all this time. Right. So it's very common, but also intrinsic factor antibodies. Right. When you run full antibody panels, you find little hidden things, joint antibodies. You know, a lot of people with joint problems have collagen antibodies. I remember Tom O'Brien telling a story about this guy who came to see him He was at about 50, and all his family members had, all the males in his family had died right around that age of heart attacks, sudden heart attacks, without any other, you know, warnings or anything. And he said, I don't want to be that. Can you just do my full workup on me and let's figure it out? And he did the full, the Cyrix Array 6 autoimmune panel, and discovered that he had three different antibodies attacking his heart, myocardium, and I don't remember all the others that were there, but three different antibodies attacking his heart. He said, most likely, that's what happened to your family member. So he put him on a gluten-free diet, he put him on an autoimmune protocol, and 6 months later, they retested him, and those antibodies were gone. The guy's alive and healthy because you addressed the autoimmune. So a lot of people die suddenly of things, and they don't even know it, right? Tom himself said that he went and got that test as soon as it came out, just to test, figuring he'd get an A+ on it and everything would be fine. And he had brain antibodies. And he went to them and said, this can't be me. My brain works really well. This can't be me. And they said, we ran it twice, Tom. It's you. And so he said, at the time he said, so I went on a gluten-free diet. And I went, you weren't already on a gluten-free diet? Because he teaches it. He said, well, I was mostly. That's when I really realized that mostly doesn't work, right? And he reversed his brain antibodies. But imagine if he didn't have that testing done, or he didn't just adopt a gluten-free diet and an autoimmune kind of lifestyle just as prophylaxis. Imagine, you know, he suddenly starts to lose his memory when he's in his 60s, right? Or he starts to have, you know, signs of Parkinson's or other kinds of conditions, right? So yeah, I think autoimmune is really important. And I think that until you rule it out, I think we put people on protocols that will help restore autoimmunity. And what are they? Well, leaky gut, manage the leaky gut, deal with the stress, get rid of heavy metals and toxic exposures, detoxification, right? Those are the main things that we're going to work on for autoimmune. Elimination diet, eliminate food allergies in that. Go on a gluten-free diet. And when you do those things prophylactically, even if you don't have an autoimmune disease, you're going to prevent having one, right? Some people want the tests. So if they do and they're not willing to do what you're telling them to do, have them pay $600 to Cyrix Labs, have their blood drawn, and figure out what antibodies they have. Because most likely they have something. Right? If they're experiencing a lot of health issues. I'm not saying everybody has it, but people that are experiencing chronic health issues, it's often an unresolved autoimmune issue. Yeah. Good topic for Shine. Yes. I'm looking forward to it. You know, like Brandon, you know, he's in his, what, teens or 20s when he got diagnosed with Crohn's disease, right? That's an autoimmune disease. How many young people are dealing with diarrhea and bloating and gas and all these things that really it's undiagnosed Crohn's disease, right? I mean, until it gets really bad and you start bleeding out your rectum and doubling over in pain, but those signs are there. The antibodies are often there long time before the actual symptoms manifest. Like Tom's, he didn't have those symptoms. The guy with the heart thing, he didn't have the symptoms, right? So it's really, I think the autoimmune is really timely. Jan is really resonating with exceptional practitioner too. Carrie said I had to drop off. You're good, Deb Broly, mister. Next potluck is this Saturday, 21st. And that's my last day of work until the new decade. I am taking, not that I won't work, I'll be that's working not behind this the Saturday. Scene. What?
That's not this Saturday.
Oh, no, it's next Saturday. Sorry, yeah. I'm jumping ahead of the game here, right?
That's
no,
this Saturday, questioning it.
That's why you were questioning it. Yeah. So the following Saturday, right? This is Saturday right before Christmas. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Like, huh? Yeah. It's the 21st. I got throat spray that has thyme, slippery elm, comfrey, and mullein. It's very soothing. Is that the one from Gaia? I love that one. I have to order more of it. I always keep that on hand. I use it if I feel a scratch starting, but I also use it like if I'm talking a lot, like a chine for 3 days. I keep that stuff handy and spray it to keep my throat nice and soft and smooth. Yeah, I'm curious if it's the Gaia or if there's something else. Yeah, so Barbara asks for Lynn Rose, where's the best place to buy one of those kits? And
Washington Homeopathics is probably the best place to get. They've got either a 50 or 100 remedy kits.
And then, you know, there's a whole thing. This is where homeopathy gets really complicated, is the 10s and the 10Xs and the 20Cs and the 100Cs.
Get 30C.
Get 30C.
Yeah, that covers pretty much anything. Because the lower the potency, the more current right now stuff. And a kit like that is for acute problems.
Acute stuff, right. So it's not for the
30
picks 30C. But then if you're taking a few of those pellets and succussing it, then are you making it a different potency?
Well, if you succuss it, it bumps it up maybe one little tiny bit. So you're not changing it dramatically.
Dramatically, okay.
But, you know, if you do it each time, it's going to go up just a hair. But that's actually good. That way your body doesn't get adapted to it. So if you're going to use something long term, it's good to succuss it between. Otherwise, it's not that critical to do that.
Okay.
Just to succuss it the first time.
Succuss it the first time, like what'd you say, 20 to 50 times?
Yeah, 15 to 20 times.
15 to 20 times, yeah. And then you're saying that if you want to, after you've done that for a couple of weeks and it's not getting better or whatever, a couple of days, you can succuss it more and that would raise the potency.
Yeah, just...
Do you have to add more water to it or just succuss it more?
Do what now?
Do you have to add more water to it or just succuss it more? Succussing is shaking, guys.
Well, if it's below half, then you could add a little water to it, yeah.
Go add a little water. And that kit will last you forever if you do it that way, right? Most of them are whole bottle.
Why I gave that information, because it does extend the kit dramatically.
Yeah.
If with nosodes and other things that are low potency, you have to treat them differently. But for anything in the kit or anything 30C that you can buy in the stores, then you can add
that with any of them that you buy in the store.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Take four pellets.
Those little vials they have in the store, they're more expensive. They're bigger pellets. So
yeah.
You go through them quicker. So
yeah. So you can still take those, like put one of those pellets in a bottle or a couple of those pellets in a bottle.
Sure.
Right. So
with
my son was going through arnica like it was candy.
Oh, yeah.
Like he was hurting.
That's why I will buy extras of those. But you can also get refills from Washington sells the little refill bottles too.
Okay, cool.
And then Lynn, mention about the water.
What's that?
About the type of water, because you taught me that and I didn't know.
You don't want to use distilled or RO water.
Oh, really?
Something that it's frequency. It needs conduction. So you want some structure to it. We used to do spring water and then in the office, and then when we got a Berkey, we use Berkey water. But
spring could be a way to do it.
You don't want tap water. You don't want tap water. You know. And you don't want dead water, which, you know, RO and distilled or dead water.
Okay, so the spring or the Berkey.
Yeah.
Good question. Thank you for that, Susan. I wasn't thinking about that. I was just going to use my RO water.
Yeah, that wouldn't give you as much because it's not going to perpetuate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Brandon, the throat space from Dr. Morse's. I don't know that one. Okay. I'll look for these things. Yeah, I think I misplaced one of mine and I have to replace it. So I will go check them out. I think it was the arnica probably because I took it out to give him and disappeared. Okay, let's see who else. Okay, cool. Who else? Questions or comments? What other discussions can we have? We learn so much from these calls, right? It just, yeah. I'm going to write a note to myself to put add the NEPT retreat to the clinical module. Yeah. That'll be like a 4 or 5 hour project because it was a long call and I want to go through it and separate it out, but it'll be worth it. Who else? Nothing else? I mean to call it a night early? No, it's already 7:00. We've already been on an hour, so cool. All right, if nothing else, guys, I'm looking. I think we have one more call before the end of the year. I think we have actually, I said this is the last open coaching, but I think we actually have a case study. No, that's January. Maybe this is the last one. Let me look. December. So this week,
we have, let's see. No, we don't have anything this week. We have next week.
Implementation on the 19th.
The implementation, yeah. Okay, good. I think we're going to do adrenals that day. Does that sound good to everybody? Adrenals? Yeah. Okay, good. And that's it. Everything else.
Office hours.
Well, in the office hours. So those are where you can come and just ask questions. Those that don't have the visual here, those are where everybody that's in any of our programs gets to come to. So we get IRSPT and CMDS people as well as people in the assessments module. All right. That's it. That's Practice Accelerator. And then we have, so I'll see you guys next week, hopefully. And I was going to say something right before that about the castor oil packs. Lynn mentioned about the castor oil packs, and I recently did a Facebook Live with Dr. Marisol. And we also did a program where she went into more of the detail and the science on it. And it's in the Advanced Clinical Resources. So you just go in there and look for her. And it was really good. It was really good. It was much more of the detail. So for the lay population, she just kept it light and she got a lot deeper. She was still funny, but she just got a lot deeper with mechanisms. And that's where I first heard her talk about the parasympathetic effects of castor oil packs. I didn't realize, you know, how that was stimulating the parasympathetics. Also didn't realize, and I've started doing this regularly, is the mouth stuff, the oil pulling. I was like, oh, yeah, right. I'm going to sit there with my mouth closed for 20 minutes and not be able to do anything. And so when she said with castor oil, because it's so much more potent, you can actually do it for just 5 minutes and just a teaspoon, not a whole couple of tablespoons or like, right. It actually doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste bad. Try it. And it's just a teaspoon of the castor oil and you just swish it around for about 5 minutes and then spit it out. Don't spit it into the plumbing system. So I've been just opening my garbage can and finding a piece of plastic bag or something and spitting it into that and putting it back in. Yeah. I didn't want to just spit it into the garbage can. That seemed a little gross, but, just find a piece of plastic or something that's disposable and throw it in that. So give it a try and let's talk about it. Let's hear how you do. I've done it probably 4 of the last 5 days. So we'll see. All right, guys. I cover my whole body in castor oil after a shower. Whoa, that's dedicated. Wow, and then you must have to wear old clothes. You don't want to just go lay in bed and have your body touching your sheets, no? Or put a big towel, an old towel on your bed. Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. I would love to hear the benefits of that, Brandon. Like, what have you experienced since you started to do that? Because that's dedication. The whole body, wow, that's a lot. I was rubbing it over my liver. Yeah. All right, guys, have a great rest of the evening. Have a great rest of the week. He said it absorbs quickly. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.